Hey, happy Friday, people. What's going on? It's time for some fantasy baseball. This is Fantasy Baseball Today from CBSSports.com. Adam Scott now with you on Friday, July 10th. How about those pitching performances last night?
How about them? Lots of great ones. Jose.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I had a roto team, a categories team, that went 3-for-35 last night.
Oh,
that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it was a product of terrific pitching, and we'll get to all of that. We're giving away some cool FanDuel stuff today. We're giving away 2 free entries to the MLB rally. If you want a free chance to win some money, stay tuned for that. I'll give you some details. Talk about some injuries, the home run derby a little bit. Buy low, sell high, and your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Watch Daily Fantasy Live, 4 p.m. Eastern, on the website.
4 p.m., the more watchable hour than 6 p.m.
Who's on it today?
Or so I've been told.
Who's on it today?
Scott White is,
all right.
And Heath Cummings, and Ryan Bass.
And who's going to Cincinnati this weekend?
Scott White is, and Al Melchior. No, Ryan Bass. He's staying back.
So you guys are in Cincy, and Chris and I are going to hold down the fort with the podcast during the All-Star break.
But thanks, guys.
That's going to be fun. What do you guys... What are you guys going to do there?
You're going to podcast every day of the All-Star break? What are you going to do?
You know, we usually do. First half All-Stars.
Okay.
Anything and everything. Maybe we'll take one day off, but that'd be it.
Hardest working man in podcast show business.
The people need their fix. What's on the agenda over the, in Cincinnati for you guys?
I'm going to eat some chili. Mm-hmm. That is probably at the top of my agenda.
That's why they're sending us up there, actually.
To eat chili.
Yep.
To report back. We'll also be shooting some video, writing some content, some of it All-Star related, some of it more just kind of general, looking forward to the second half.
A lot of prospects stuff. We're about to have Prospects Palooza.
Oh, cool.
On CBS.
We will be at
sports.com website.
Be at the Futures game.
Oh, all right. Excellent.
We'll be in the future too.
Yeah.
That's right. We'll actually go see what these prospects do 10 years from now and report back.
Oh, well, that could be very useful for Dynasty League owners, so make sure you check that out. Fantasynews.cbsports.com. Okay, time for the show. Stat of the day number 1, Jose Fernandez is 14-0. He holds the modern-day record for the most consecutive home starts to open a career without a loss. 14-0 with a 1.17 ERA at home. More on him later. Possible stat of the day number 2. I don't know for 100%. Fact that this is true. I think I saw this on MLB Network, but they took the graphic down just before I was able to finish typing. But it seems
but
right
you're
going to
use it anyway.
Yeah, because the point is, Cody Anderson's been really good. First player in modern baseball history to go 6 innings, allowing 1 earned run or less in each of his first 4 starts. That feels right to me. Doesn't it feel right to you?
6 innings, 1 earned run or less?
Yeah, in his first 4 starts. First player in modern baseball history.
I could see it being true, sure. And
that's good enough for me. That's all I need, Scott. It's officially stat of the day number 2, Cody Anderson. So, yeah, look, he's not walking people, but he's not really striking out anybody. But so far, Cody Anderson's been awesome. He's got a .89 ERA, and he's going 7 or 8 innings almost every time out pretty much. Yesterday was 6 2/3.
God, not only is he doing it in just an unusual, unexpected way, but it would seem like somebody would have done that before with the 4 starts in a row.
It's possible. That's only possible stat of the day number
6.
One.
So you said 6 innings or more.
One earned run or less
to begin career.
Yeah.
Can
you baseball reference that?
Yeah, I'm baseball referencing it. And I think that's mistaken.
Oh. What else would he got there?
If I did this right, the baseball reference play index, I think I set it up so it would just be the first starts of the player's career. Fernando Valenzuela and Dutch Leonard would be tied with 7, if I did it right. So again, we may just be
all right,
throwing a bunch of incorrect facts out there.
Well, that's okay. I mean, it's impressive whether it's a record or not.
Yes.
And
well, what's most impressive about it, Alpha referred to the unusual way. He had 1 strikeout in this game against the Astros, and yet it was still an effective performance. He hasn't had a good strikeout performance yet. He had a a 2-strikeout game in 8 innings against the Rays a couple starts ago. So clearly not a strikeout pitcher, which isn't surprising. He wasn't in the minors either. But he does throw hard and does throw strikes. I could see him remaining a streamable option in mixed leagues, but I'm skeptical of him being this top flight pitcher all season long.
Yeah, as am I. And to really bring this into fantasy relevance, I'm looking at Fernando Valenzuela's game logs. And he did, as Scott pointed out, exceed the feat in terms of his first 7 starts, but he had some relief appearances in the year before that.
Oh, there it is.
Disqualify him. I don't even remember. And I was big into baseball in 1980, and I did not remember Fernando Valenzuela being in the Dodgers bullpen.
So Cody Anderson.
I was not born yet.
Would you drop Phil Hughes for Cody Anderson?
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah, I'm with Scott.
But it's not far off.
Would you rather have Mike Fiers or Cody Anderson?
I'd rather Fiers, yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Give us a little preview of who you're going to talk about in Buy Low, Sell High, who you're most excited to talk about today.
Most excited. I'm not sure. I'll just throw out some names then. Because speaking of pitchers, Kyle Gibson isn't technically a sell low because he's, or a buy low rather, because he's been pretty good lately, but he's not really getting that much traction in fantasy. And I think he's a good trade target right now. And then in terms of some pitchers, I would try to sell Mike Montgomery and the aforementioned Cody Anderson.
Okay. Scott, did you have any? I know I threw this at you at 6 o'clock in the morning or 6:30 in the morning. So that's my bad. Any buy low, sell highs that come to mind for you?
Do they have to be the most?
Do you want
superlatives here?
Well, whatever you want. It's Friday, so I just figured we'd have some fun with it. You know, everybody, superlatives and Friday just go together since it's the best day of the week.
Everybody likes superlatives. You make a headline with a superlative in it. People are going to click on it.
Superlatives are the most awesome.
Clickbaiting.
Thank you, Adam.
Yeah. Victor Martinez is probably, this probably is, I can probably go superlative on this. Probably the by lowest candidate in baseball right now.
I think you mean by lowest candidate. That's
by
the lowest way to say it.
I think Melky Cabrera might be by lower just by virtue of being lower, but well, whatever. We can get to this later, right?
Yeah, sure. And I'll throw out Carlos Santana, and you guys can tell me later if you agree or disagree on Carlos Santana. We do have some injuries, news, and notes to get to. Jason A. has the tweet of the day. He says, new fantasy headline. Matt's all, folks.
Nobody's clicking on that headline. It's not superlative-y enough.
Well, he is out. Steven Matz, partial lat tear. He won't throw for 3 weeks, so we don't know how long he's out for. He's not even going to throw for 3 weeks. Not much to say for Matz. Just hang on to him, but Mets rotation back to 5-man now?
Yes, for the time being. Did you see the tweet from Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal? About the Mets injuries and
if not, I'm sure you can still find it because a diamond is forever.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Man, we're killing it today.
Yeah.
Lame jokes that are funny. This is this is like a how to. Okay, anyway, no, I didn't see the tweet.
So yeah, I mean it's got this graphic it that's quite wordy, so you know, I'll try to just sum it up. But basically it's got Wheeler, David Wright, Rafael Montero, Daniel Murphy, Travis d'Arnaud, Michael Kadir, and the organization's quotes about how minor their injuries were.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, doesn't mean that just because the Mets thing is being, you know, somewhat downplayed that it'll turn into some season-ending thing, but there's a pattern.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah. All right. It is a big shame.
Let's fly through the rest of the news and notes so we can get to the fun stuff. Alex Gordon out at least 8 weeks with a groin strain. We did talk about Jerod Dyson yesterday. He gets steals. Houston Street might be out until after the All-Star break. Joe Smith could get some saves this weekend, so they are downplaying that injury right now. In the Dodgers rotation, Brandon Beachy probably not going to pitch this weekend. Zach Lee could start Saturday against Milwaukee.
Well, that's interesting, too.
Mm-hmm.
He's a second-tier prospect, or maybe third-tier, depending how you draw up your tiers.
He's kind of the Alex Guerrero of their minor league pitchers, that they've had several opportunities to bring him up and haven't seen fit, and I can't really understand why.
Yeah, and they say they're fine with where Beachy is. He just needs a little bit more time. So I think he's going to make another rehab start this weekend. Matt Holliday could be back today as a pinch hitter. In fact, it looks like he's going to pinch hit all this weekend. So probably not worth starting if you have him in a daily transactions league. Jesse Hahn's going to have an MRI on his elbow. He will not start this weekend. Chris Bassett will start in Jesse Hahn's place. Starling Marte could go on the DL with his side injury. Is anyone interested in Jesus Montero, who the Seattle Mariners called up?
I'm interested not in, like, I'm going to pick him up sort of way, just in can he revive his career sort of way. So, curious to see what happens. He hit .332 with 15 home runs at AAA, so it's not like this isn't just a they called him up because he's on the 40-man roster kind of move.
Right. Yeah. And he's still catcher eligible, right?
It's taken actually this long for them to do it.
Well, they're hitting so well, Al. Who are they going to take out of the lineup?
Yeah, exactly.
But he's still, Jesus Montero is still catcher eligible, right?
You have to look that up because I remember we had some, I think we had some debate about that, about how to.
Well, it's really easy to find. There's no reason for debate.
I mean, in the process of assigning positions.
Oh, okay. He's DH only.
Oh, he's DH only.
DH only.
Well, that does not help his fantasy value.
No.
Seattle sent Jay Happ to AAA. Is that a permanent thing, or is that an all-star break?
I was going to ask you that, because I saw the transaction, but didn't see any, you know, analysis along with it. So this time of year, it very easily could just be that.
Denard Span likely to go on the DL. Colton Wong expects to play today. He did play yesterday, but did not start. Andre Ethier left last night's game with quad tightness, so you're going to like Dodgers lefties today in FanDuel. Or any DFS that you do, but maybe not Ethier. Chase Headley missed his second straight game with a sore calf, and Cole Figueroa doubled twice for the Yankees starting at third base. Martin Prado could be back right around the All-Star break or right after it, and Miami agreed to a deal with Casey McGee.
They're going to have so many third basemen now.
Yeah. If only they were good. Alexi Ramirez day-to-day with an ankle injury, and Brett Gardner will replace Alex Gordon on the All-Star team. And are you ready for Heath Cummings, IMing me an awesome stat?
Sure.
Always.
Fun fact for a podcast, if you want it. Cody Anderson and Matt Shoemaker have essentially the same XFIP.
Yeah, that's not really good for Cody Anderson.
Or is it good for Matt Shoemaker?
Yeah, I'm guessing the first one. I could look up what that XFIP is. I'm going to guess it's probably around 5.
Okay. Ooh, that's pretty high.
Yeah, I mean...
We could play Prices Right...
You're not going to have a strikeout rate as low as Anderson has and have a low FIP or XFIP, either one.
All right, Scott, you want to take a guess?
480.
Adam?
394.
This is an estimate of what ERA should be based on certain peripherals, just to for people who don't know what XFIP is, because I doubt everyone listening does.
I'll say 394.
394? Mm-hmm. You win.
Wow.
407.
That's actually 407. Not as bad as I thought it was.
Yeah, obviously, more so for me.
Matt Shoemaker has underachieved.
And remember, XFIP is, you know, FIP stands for fielding independent pitching, and Cody Anderson now has a very good left side of the infield behind him, so that could be helping too, right?
Yes, it could. Absolutely.
I'm going to go through the amazing starting pitchers. I'm not sure how much we have to talk about these guys, but some of them are extremely interesting, and just last night was just amazing. David Price, 8 innings, 2 unearned runs at Minnesota. Felix Hernandez, another really good start. He is the number 11 starting pitcher in points, number 10 in Roto, which was a bit lower than I thought, but still really good. Zach Greinke, I mean, he's got a 1.39 ERA and a .89 WHIP and 35 and two-thirds consecutive innings without allowing a run for Zach Greinke. That's incredible.
I don't think it's a stretch to say he's having a Greg Maddux-like season. Greg Maddux put up ERAs like this with similar peripherals. So, I mean, I'm still skeptical, that Greinke's going to finish with a sub-2 ERA, but it keeps going down rather than up.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Chris Towers is peeking in through the glass at us. It was very creepy.
Jose Fernandez, 7 scoreless innings, 6 hits, 9 strikeouts, no walks. Carlos Martinez was great again. Masahiro Tanaka gave up just 2 hits and 1 walk and 1 earned run in 7 2/3. A nice bounce back for him. And Jeff Samardzija, The complete game shutout, four hitter. Five starts before that, he was 1-0 with a 3 ERA. And really has been pitching deep into games over and over again.
Yeah, well, he's pitching with amazingly good control, throwing in some superlatives there. So that's going to help us his efficiency.
When you look at the list of the pitchers I just said, who do you want to analyze here for the people out there?
Well, we already analyzed a couple.
Yeah.
Where did you end? Tanaka?
Samardzija. Price, Hernandez, Greinke, Fernandez, Martinez, Tanaka, Samardzija.
I mean, I think the ones who sort of beg it the most are Samardzija and Greinke, because they're doing it with fewer strikeouts, and they're both doing it with really great control. So, you know, like Scott mentioned, I mean, I have some questions about the sustainability with Greinke. He's got a BABIP that's in the 220s, I believe.
It's 245, which is by far the lowest of his career.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, that's very, very low.
The lowest BABIP, though?
It's not the lowest. Cody Anderson.
Sticking to the superlative theme.
it is
Cody
the lowest of his career.
I think somewhere close to 100, actually.
You mentioned the strikeouts, and neither of them have great strikeout rates, but it's not like a Cody Anderson situation.
No.
I mean, it's mid-sevens, so that could...
No, they're good. They're both very good.
Well, Samardzija, I think there is some question how good he is. And I wish I could tell you, oh, this has changed, and that's why he has six consecutive starts of seven-plus innings. Is looking much better overall. But I don't really see anything that's changed underneath all that. So I don't know. Like, I can't say whatever was wrong with him before is fixed all of a sudden, but at the same time, I couldn't really understand why he was so bad either, so I kind of just think he's regressing to the mean here in the good way and becoming a guy you're going to start more weeks than not.
All right, well, let's see. The last five starts, has a 13% whiff rate and a ground ball to fly ball ratio that's close to one. I mean, those are both big upgrades over what he was doing early in the year.
This is Samardzija we're talking
about. Why the last
about.
Five starts he's turned those around, I don't know. But, there's some signs there that he's just doing a better job of either missing contact altogether or inducing weaker contact.
That's Samardzija. Would you rather have Samardzija or Tanaka?
Tanaka.
Yeah, Tanaka.
Would you rather have Tanaka or Carlos Martinez?
Carmart.
No, I'll stick to Tanaka, but man, Carmart is looking good.
Yeah, so
I think the most earned runs he's allowed in his last 10 starts is 3, and he did that once.
We've brought this up before with Carlos Martinez, but since today's the buy low, sell high day, I'm thinking about trying to sell Carlos Martinez just because I'm concerned about the innings. Last year, he threw 99 and two-thirds innings between the majors and the minors. He was a reliever for a lot of it. So he's already at 107 and a third. When you watch this guy pitch, I mean, he looks like he's going to be, the next in the discussion with all these aces, right? I mean, where do you think Carlos Martinez is getting drafted next year? He's probably a first three rounds guy, right?
That seems like
a little high.
I was thinking five or six.
Yeah.
Maybe in the Jake Arrieta range.
Yes.
Okay, like this year's Jake Arrieta. Okay, that makes sense. But still, he looks great. I'm a little worried about him faltering late in the year just because of the innings. And then Tanaka, I wanted to mention this. This was the first start that Tanaka threw more than 98 pitches. He threw 114 pitches, and they thought since they have the All-Star break coming up, he'll have extra rest. And Girardi said something like, we like where we're at with Tanaka. So I think the fact that they let him throw 114 pitches tells you what the Yankees think about his health. Anyway, if you want to just... put bow on what I was just talking about with Carmart and Tanaka.
I think obviously the big advantage for Martinez is he's relief pitcher eligible.
All right, let's roto it then. Let's just roto it.
What's that?
Let's just do the roto then. Take that out of the equation.
What are you trying to get me to say?
I'm trying to get you to say why you would rather have Tanaka over Martinez other than the RP eligible thing.
I feel like the ceiling's a little higher. because, I mean, Tanaka last year looked like a top five pitcher until he got hurt. But he is less consistent than Martinez, so it kind of depends maybe on the size of the league, too. Well, no, and really the point you brought up about the innings is a good one, too, because it does seem like they'll have to curtail Martinez's at some point when Tanaka, provided he is healthy, is just going to pitch straight through.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is I don't know that there's a clear edge there in terms of innings, because I could see the Yankees going six-man on occasion. I worry about injury with Tanaka. So to me, that completely wipes out the concerns that I might have about Martinez having his own innings curtailed.
Okay, so yesterday could be summed up like this. Great starting pitching performances, and then there's Garrett Richards. 12 hits, 4 runs, 3 strikeouts, and 5 and a third. 5 starts before that, he had a 2.04 ERA. Still not striking out guys like he was last year. I'm kind of giving up hope on that, but what do you think about Garrett
Richards?
The last
2 starts were probably his best 2 in terms of strikeout-to-walk ratio. I think he had 6-1 in each of them, which still is less than a strikeout per inning, but not as much. At the same time, if that's what we're getting excited about, I have to say I've been kind of disappointed as a Richards owner. He hasn't been bad, but he hasn't been the ace-caliber pitcher I thought he had become last year. And I can't say for sure that he will be.
Yeah, I'm not disappointed, and it seems like, you know, and I'm not just us, I mean, you know, just in the community, that there's been a lot of focus on his duds, but, you know, outside of those, I mean, he's been really great doing the things that he does, you know, did well last season.
He's not getting the strikeouts, I mean, you can't deny the strikeouts aren't there. I don't think he's had a single start with more than a strike. Okay, he had one with more than a strikeout per inning, and he's had a couple with the same number, but most of his starts have been well below a strikeout per inning.
I don't know that that's true. I mean, he's been in the neighborhood in a lot of them, and there's nothing to me that helps me to understand why the strikeouts are down. It could just be one of those things. You know, when you get down to the, you know, the components of his skill indicators, they look great. I mean, the last 5 starts previous to this one, 68% strikes thrown, 12% whiff rate, 1.21 ground ball to fly ball. And that's kind of what you expected.
Well, he doesn't have much of a track record, though, Garrett Richards. So, you know, it's very possible that last year was, I mean, if you look at his strikeout rate throughout his career, last year is the one that sticks out like a sore thumb, 8.8 for Richards. And he's got 7.1 strikeouts per 9 this year. And that's the second highest of his career.
See, I don't buy that. If he, you know, had a 9% whiff rate and was walking a bunch of guys and giving up extra base hits, I'd buy that. But, you know, everything peripherally looks really close to what it was last year.
Well, can you understand other people, like people who own him in fantasy, being disappointed with him?
I
like, if you're saying, you know, keep the faith because he's underlying stats show he's as good as he was last year.
Yeah.
That, I get that. But at the same time, as someone who owns Richards, I was expecting a little more.
Yeah, no, I can understand that, absolutely. And so what I draw from that is that I probably should put him on my buy low list.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to move on now and tell you about FanDuel, which is awesome and super fun. And we've got a contest for you to join now. Go to FanDuel.com/CBSPod. If you're listening in the morning, it might not be ready yet, but it will be at some point. This is the 7 p.m. Eastern Time night slate, the main night slate. There are 150 people that enter into this. It's a tournament with a lot of payouts. So FanDuel.com/CBSPod. Go there, sign up, join us. $2 entry. It's very cheap. And play against us and also play against the DF Live crew. Daily Fantasy Live is at 4 p.m. Eastern. FanDuel, they're changing the way people are playing fantasy baseball. You can play as often as you want. One day fantasy, no season long commitment. You can enter multiple entries in the same tournament. You can play 50-50s. You can play against your buddies. It's very fun, so get on there and give it a shot and use our offer code CBSPOD. There's that CBSPOD thing again. That's the offer code if you click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. And FanDuel's going to match your deposit dollar for dollar up to $200. It gets earned as you play. Tonight, we're giving away 2 entries to the MLB Rally Tournament. The MLB Rally two free entries. First two people to tweet me at Adam Azer, put a hashtag Fandle on there, and something that Al, you've written recently that they could go to the website, look up, and tell me what.
Tell, I don't understand what you're
To win entry into the MLB rally.
Yes.
They can read your recent blog.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right.
And tell me what. What would you like for them to look up? Like the first person you mentioned in something or anything that comes to mind?
You have me totally lost here.
Okay. I'll do this by myself then. Go to Scott's waiver wire column. As Al has dropped the ball on this. Really ought to take responsibility. Go to Scott's waiver wire column that he wrote on July 9th and tell me the second guy he mentions in the waiver wire column. Hashtag FanDuel, and you're going to get free entry into the MLB rally.
Now, just because I wouldn't want to be confused if I was one of the people who really wanted this. When you say the second guy I mentioned, do you mean like the second guy who gets his little subheading
and
feature him?
Yes, yes.
Not just the very second name I mentioned in the whole written...
Correct. The guy who's 78% owned. I'm not making this difficult for anybody. Yeah. No, you're right, actually. I ran into that problem 2 days ago when I did this, so I'm glad you brought that up.
Thanks for the backup, Scott.
Thank you for that. All right, home run derby matchups. Just tell me who you like. Albert Pujols versus Chris Bryant.
I'll go with the veteran leadership of Albert Pujols.
Me too.
Jock Peterson and Manny Machado.
Young Jock.
Me too.
Yeah. Josh Donaldson or Anthony Rizzo?
Now, why did Josh Donaldson get the George Peterson
voice?
It
just sounds so much like Jock Peterson.
No. I'm going to go. This is a tough one. I'm going to go Rizzo here.
I'm going to go the Donald.
I predict Anthony Rizzo will get hit by at least two pitches during the home run derby. He leads
and
baseball
steal a base.
In that. Todd Frazier or Prince Fielder?
Ooh, I got okay. Frazier, yeah.
And who's gonna win it?
Pujols.
I agree.
Yeah, although this is like one of the least predictable competitions out there. I feel like.
Yeah, I'll go hometown hero and I'll go Frazier. I just wanted to ask you guys, since this has been brought up in the past, kind of lost steam recently. Do you have any fear about these guys participating in the home run derby and then slumping second half?
No.
No,
I'm going to keep my answer from the last 4 years and say no.
Yeah.
Last year was a bad year, though. We had Dozier. We had Todd Frazier. And we had Yasiel Puig. And those guys had some serious power outages in the second half. I think Adam Jones might have, too. But I feel like he's kind of a first half. Maybe not. I'm wrong about that.
That's interesting. I mean, I don't pay enough attention to the home run derby, really, to remember who participated when we're in the second half, you know?
Yeah.
Unless somebody else makes a big deal of it. So, it's interesting that those three players all did. Because, yeah, they weren't as powerful in the second half.
No, but in 2013, I think what you see is, like, the guys who were in the home run derby had a lot of home runs in the first half. And they just couldn't be expected to keep up that pace after the All-Star break. So.
Yeah, there's probably some truth to that.
Yeah, maybe they didn't hit the same amount of home runs. It's not a perfect midway point of the season, but maybe they didn't, you know, have the same slugging percentage or the same home run power, but that doesn't mean they weren't really good in the second half. And we've kind of debunked this myth on the podcast before. But last year was not a good year for home run derby participants. Alright, buy low, sell high. Al, you got a bunch of names. I want to go through this quickly here if we could.
Sure.
But not too quickly. Al, gonna start with Melky Cabrera as a buy low candidate.
More fake instruction.
70% there. Owned. Moderately, somewhat quickly.
Okay, thank you. Well, just basically the idea here is that Cabrera has been heating up lately, and I think that you might be close to missing your window to getting him really, 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 really cheap. And I don't know that I'd be willing to go for Melky if I couldn't get him really, 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 really cheap. But I think you got to try now because he's really been hitting well of late.
Yeah,
should I pick him up in the podcast league?
No, because I already did.
You did?
2 days ago.
But then you dropped him.
No, I didn't.
It says on waivers till Saturday morning.
What?
Uh-oh. Pick him up, Scott.
Who the hell did I pick up?
I'll look at the transactions log, and you claimed him? off waivers, and there's no transaction saying you dropped him.
Yeah, there's no way he's available. I picked him up.
I don't know what's going on here.
You're freaking me out over here.
Anyway.
He's batting 393 in his last 15 games. Jorge Soler, Al.
Yeah, so just a few games off the DL, and I do think that he's due for a bounce back from a disappointing beginning of the season right up until the DL stint. And we saw last year what he's capable of doing power-wise and hitting in a much-improved lineup this year. So, again, I think it's a situation where if you wait maybe even another week, it could be too late, but I think at this point you could get a very high-upside guy for very little in Soler.
Okay, how about Marcus Semien, who has now committed 28 errors?
Okay, and, you know, every time we talk about him, we talk about the errors, and I think with the implication that he could carry that over to the plate, not hitting well the last couple of months, but he has managed to stay in the lineup all this time, so you could take that as an encouraging sign that the defense isn't going to be something that pulls, that's going to hurt his playing time, and he is starting to come around power-wise. The strikeouts are way up, but the first couple months of the season, was hitting with a decent contact rate. And this is the same player I like so much going into the season who has the power potential, with shortstop eligibility. And now that we're starting to see a little bit of that power again, or even if we weren't, I mean, that skill is still there. And, I think now is the time that you can get him and should get him.
All right. That is Marcus Semien and Kyle Gibson you talked about earlier.
Yeah, he's been much more of a strikeout pitcher lately. So, you know, he's had a low ERA for almost the whole season. He really just had a couple bad starts in April. Other than that, he's been consistently good, and then of late, he's been getting the whiffs.
Scott, any buy low guys for you?
I got to tell you, I'm looking at Melky Cabrera's weekly point totals, and if this is the new and improved Melky Cabrera, I'm not sure I want to pick him up in a three outfielder league anyway. I get what Al's saying, because 8 of his 16 extra base hits have come in his last 15 games. But still not translating to many points. But anyway, like I said, Victor Martinez is probably my favorite because I think, although he's universally owned, and we're talking trade scenario here, and I'm not sure everybody's bought into the fact that the idea that he has his knees healthy again and he's back to being something like the player he was last year, but the numbers indicate that he is.
But who is
this?
I'm sorry.
What's that?
Who were you talking about?
Victor Martinez.
Oh, Victor Martinez. Okay.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Carlos Santana? He's a second half guy.
He is a notoriously slow starter, and I don't see any reason to think he's a lesser player now than he was then. Mark Trumbo, again, a player you could probably just pick up in some leagues, but if he is already owned in your league, I feel like his slow start in Seattle has turned people off on him, and a couple multi-hit games in a row here, so he may be starting to pick it up. He's just a streaky player, and I don't think the stadium's going to kill him because he had a couple 30 home run seasons for the Angels, who play in perhaps an even worse stadium than the Mariners. So I think he's a good bet to bounce back with big power numbers.
Al, let's go to your sell highs.
I think it'd be pretty smooth to pick up Carlos Santana.
There you go. Also, I just wanted to say that he's still walking a lot, so, you know, still doing what he does. Sell high on Stephen Vogt.
Yeah, and this is mostly just based on my perception, because it still seems like people are very high on him from, you know, tweets and emails that I get, and, you know, just a discussion that I hear, you know, him being mentioned as an elite catcher, but he's not really hit well for a while, and Bob Melvin, you know, said a few weeks back that he's really banged up. And I just have to wonder if he's really, if, you know, as the season grinds on, if it's going to get worse, not better. So it seems like while there is still a perception of him as a, you know, top, I think a lot of people maybe view him as a top three catcher or even as a top five.
I actually just moved him up in my rankings ahead of Luke Roy. So, interesting timing with that move, I guess. He is batting .321 over his last 21 games, so there's that. I like what he does peripherally, but he does seem like he these injuries keep popping up for him. And last year, the plantar fasciitis kind of wrecked his season. So I get the injury risk argument.
Gerardo Parra, sell high on.
Yeah, very hot, both in terms of performance lately and in terms of fantasy perception. And if he stays in Milwaukee, I think, you know, he'll continue to get a lot of playing time, although he'll still, you know, they'll get cut into by Chris Davis somewhat. And he's been bandied about in trade rumors. And if he gets traded, I could see him going to a team where he may not play nearly as much at all. Now, one, it wasn't even rumors so much as speculation that he could go to the Royals. If that happens, you know, maybe a sell high would backfire. But even just performance-wise, I mean, I think he's had a nice little power boost, but I'm not completely convinced that he's going to maintain it.
Okay, that's Gerardo Parra. And finally, Mike Montgomery. Sell high on Mike Montgomery, who starts tonight against Hector Santiago and the Angels.
Yeah, now he's been on an incredible run lately, you know, much like Cody Anderson, who we talked about. But peripherally, it just doesn't really add up. Not getting strikeouts, not even with great control or ground ball tendencies. So pretty mediocre peripherals, and I do think eventually those are going to come back to hurt him. And I don't think his value is going to be any higher than it is right now.
Scott, any sell high candidates for you?
Mark Teixeira.
All right.
My number one, because all he does is hit home runs, and I'm amazed he's sustained it this long. But the fact that he's sustained it this long gives him enough value, I think, to the point that you can now get something very good in return for him.
Now, how you view Mark Teixeira could really all depend on how you make that statement. All he does is hit home runs, or all he does is hit home runs.
Yeah, it sounds like a good thing, right? But
oh, he walks a lot, doesn't he?
Man cannot live on home runs alone. He does walk a lot, but my point is he doesn't hit enough singles.
Mm-hmm.
So when he falls off this 45 homer pace, what are you left with? I'm not sure walks are enough at first base to keep you satisfied.
Oh yeah, no, I like that one a lot. Any other ones?
That's the only one I found while I was talking.
That's okay. I mean, I don't even know if you mentioned the injury risk with Teixeira, but it's obviously
yes,
it is
a
big
factor
one.
Too. Yeah. Sure.
Three up, three down. I want to talk about John Jaso again. I still feel like at 12% he's underowned in two catcher leagues. I'm not looking at him in one catcher leagues necessarily, but leading off, DHing, they're getting him in the lineup. 12%. I know he's 7-for-12 in five games, but I don't know. Just seemed low for
the right guy here. I think Al's pretty high on.
I'm totally with you on that. That's crazy low ownership rate for him.
And another thing I wanted to bring up, just something that, you know, from a personal experience. I have Jaso on the DL on one two catcher league team, and I don't know if I have room for him. I might start him over Cervelli, but I'm not going to drop Cervelli. And here's the thing I wanted to just say, generally speaking in fantasy, if you're in a league where, you know, catcher or any position is really thin on waivers and you've got an extra one, you know, like in this case, I have three catchers who are worth rostering in a two catcher league and the waiver wire is garbage. I don't know that you should make a trade unless it's, you're blown off your feet. I think it's good to have depth because if an injury comes and you can go to your bench and plug someone in, that is a real advantage that you have. I don't know how you guys feel about that. I don't always like trading away my depth, unless it's a shallower league. Sometimes in deeper leagues, I like to have the depth.
Well, what I consider a shallower league would be like our podcast league, 12 teams, 21 man rosters. That's still a shallow league in my mind because mostly because there's not a lot of hitters being started overall. Three outfielders, no corner infield, no middle infield. So there's, waiver wires are abundant enough that it's just not the best use of a bench spot, I feel like. So I'd rather make a trade. And if somebody goes down, I feel good I'll be able to find an adequate replacement on waivers. But in a roto league where it's five outfielders, corner infield, mid infield, waivers aren't so abundant, so I can understand that viewpoint a little more.
Yeah, I think depth is underrated. You know, it's, you don't look at your roster sometimes. You think you have depth, maybe we want to make a trade, but injuries happen, and it's not such a bad thing to have. And also, it's not just for injury replacements. Also, start or sit. I have one league where I have Matt Kemp on my bench in a five outfielder league, but I put him in this week because somebody else had bad matchups. He could. I think you get the point of what I'm trying to say. It's good to have depth. Don't necessarily be so quick to trade it away, because if there's an injury, you're gonna say, "Oh crap! I wish I had that guy back."
No, I mean, I totally agree with that.
Salvador Perez, three up number two. I will ask you if we should sell high on Salvador Perez, given how much he struggled last year at the second half of the season and how he has caught all but nine games this season, and Ned Yost is an insane person.
That is something I actually would like, hopefully would be able to ask him about.
Oh, yeah, do that.
Are you an insane person?
Don't tell him I said that.
Okay.
Please.
But no, in terms of, you know, lessons learned from last season.
Well, he needs to rest him more. It's ridiculous. You know, he'll catch ten games in a row.
I think it would be, although you normally like to see catcher-eligible players get at-bats, I do think it would benefit Perez's numbers to get more regular rest. So I would agree with that.
So if you own Perez, would you be trying to get rid of him?
No.
Okay.
Unless you're that guy who kept the second catcher on your bench all season. And yeah. It's Yasmani Grandal.
Yeah. Okay, Cole Calhoun. 2 for 5 with a home run. Last 10 games, 10 for 29. 3 homers, 4 doubles, 11 RBI in his last 6 games, 8 runs. Calhoun is red hot, finally. What do you think about him?
Yeah, that's it, finally. It was really a head-scratcher to figure out why his production was so down. I thought maybe just because there's not a lot of protection in the lineup, but I think this is more what we can expect from here on out.
And by the way, if you're waiting for the Week 15 starter sit, do we have anything on that? I mean, there's obviously no two-star pitchers.
You're listening to the wrong podcast. There are no probable pitchers yet.
Right.
I did see one team. I want to see maybe it was the Yankees. Oh, no. In fact, I haven't seen one out of 30 teams so far.
Okay, so we don't have any information, but we have all next week to help you out with that. And again, I like playing a 10-day week instead of a 3-day week, but you don't do whatever you want to do. Three down, Troy Tulowitzki. Kind of interesting that I'm putting him in three down, considering he has a 21-game hitting streak, and he's reached base in 36 straight games. But when you look at the overall body of work, do you still consider Tulowitzki to be that elite shortstop who is so much better than everyone else? Right now, Tulo has his lowest slugging percentage since 2008. Joel Sherman pointed this out in a column a couple weeks ago in the New York Post. He's really just mashing lefties and at home, but he's okay against righties, okay on the road. He might not be as good as he once was. What do you think about Tulo?
I suspect that that's true, that he's not as good this year as he's been in the past. In a legitimate, rest of season kind of way. And he's still that elite, much better than everybody else guy at the position because of the position.
Yeah, I mean, a 30-year-old shortstop, once any middle infielder reaches that age, you do expect some regression. I don't think in Tulo's case it's a case of him falling off the cliff like Robinson Cano seems to have done. I think in large part it's not entirely fair to assess his total season numbers because it was such a slow start. In particular, the fact that he walked like twice in his first 60 games or 50 games, something like that.
Yeah.
Clearly something weird was going on there. Since then, last 33 games, he's batting .380 with 7 home runs and 129 at-bats. So, I mean,
yeah.
Maybe Carlos Correa, Hanley Ramirez, at least for the rest of this year, is still shortstop eligible. They may have closed the gap on him a bit, but those three are distancing themselves from the rest.
Jose Bautista is three down, number two, 0-for-4 with 2 strikeouts at the White Sox yesterday. Bautista is interesting because he's number 3 in points in outfield, but number 13 in roto or categories. And that might be because of a .234 batting average. He's got more walks and strikeouts, which explains the being great in points leagues, but I think the fact that he's number 13 in roto right now at outfield is a big disappointment. And what do you think going forward for Bautista?
Well, I do think that he should increase that batting average, and I think he'll finish as a top 10 outfielder, actually probably top 5.
Okay.
You know what? I think there's a good chance of that. But at the same time, I'm not sure it's like we've heard the last of it, because it kept coming back, and I wonder how much effect that's having on the batting average. I kind of see Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion both as sell high candidates. And I know Encarnacion hasn't like set the world on fire, but he has his own shoulder issues that could be troubling going forward. And I think he still retains enough of his value that you might just want to go ahead and cash in on him.
Okay. And finally, Carlos Gonzalez. Again, interesting that he's in three down, considering he has 9 hits, 3 3 hit games in his last 4 games, 9 for 17 with a home run. But, yesterday I was going to say avoid Cargo in FanDuel because he's terrible against lefties, batting 167 with 1 extra base hit in 66 at bats. Well, luckily for him, Alex Wood, he came out for the first, there was a rain delay, and then he never came back, and Cargo beat up
2 pitches.
Okay, yeah. Cargo beat up on righties. So Carlos Gonzalez says that he's getting his timing back. I feel like he said that before and then started slumping again, and the numbers against lefties are alarming. Where are you guys right now on Carlos Gonzalez?
I do think that he's been much better. And yet at the same time, I avoided him completely in DFS yesterday. So for daily leagues, I think that's something that you need to be keeping in mind. And weekly leagues where he's facing a lot of lefties, I could see benching Cargo, but other than that, I would view him as must start.
You have him ranked 24th and I have him ranked 34th, so it does seem like you're a good bit higher on him than I am.
Yeah, I moved him up fairly recently,
Between this year and last year, I think he's still a usable outfielder in mixed league, sure, but the days of him being this guy you never take out of your lineup are over. And not coming back, I don't feel like. If I could just throw one stat correction out here.
You know,
it's not good podcasting.
No, go for it.
That exact stat on Tulo's walks early on was 5 walks in his first 43 games. It was just a huge exaggeration saying 2 and 60. So I wanted to throw it out there.
Superlative Friday.
Yeah.
You were too low on the walk totals. Right? Am I right?
You were right.
You get it?
I saw it there.
Yeah, I think I do.
Quickly through the fringy starting pitchers. I'm actually going to put Yordano Ventura in here. I'm not going to argue with you, Al. I will argue with you a little bit, even though you and I had a little, kind of fought each other about you ranking Ventura pretty low. And I was like, what? He's Ventura. And you're like, so? well, he's really continuing a bad year with his first start off the DL. Jesse Chavez has been horrible lately. Nathan Carnes got lit up after his best start of the year. And Michael Lorenzen's 8% owned. He's okay. Actually, his whip is, like, laughable. But anything to say about those guys?
Well, yeah, Nathan Carnes made a discovery, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago, that over his major league career, which granted is not long, and his minor league career, at least in the upper minors, very consistent reverse splits. And ever since I discovered that he's followed that pattern every start, where when he faced a team, in this case like the Royals, that are very righty heavy, he struggles. But when he faces a lot of lefties, he's really, really good.
Well, the Royals, I guess, were righty heavy yesterday with no Gordon and Moustakas.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
Correct. And there's reason to back it up. It's not just, looking at the numbers, could have, a spurious correlation there. But if you go on a PitchFX site like Brooks Baseball and you see that he leaves a lot of pitches against righties just right in the meat of the zone. And then I tweeted with Jason Collette, who's a great analyst and knows a lot about the Rays, and asked him about him. He said, oh, yeah, that's exactly what he does against righties. Whereas against lefties, he has had a lot more success at kind of painting the corners. So I think it's a legitimate thing. And with Carnes, you really have to look at the matchups, but in the opposite way that you would think you would.
Okay, very interesting. Read some emails here after I remind you that Carson Smith got a save yesterday and Fernando Rodney gave up a home run. So take that, Fernando Rodney. emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. John says, can we please talk about how good Brian Dozier has been this far? I traded Steven Vogt to get him straight up, and then I picked up Yasmani Grandal, and then he put three smiley faces in the email.
Winning.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, as much as I like Vogt, if Grandal's on waivers and you can get the best second baseman in fantasy so far, that's obviously a good move.
Has he really been the best?
At least in points leagues.
Wow, better than
he's already
Kikis,
in 19
huh?
home runs. He had 23 last year. We talked about none of us were really thinking last year was anything less than awesome, and he's only four home runs away from that now, so I think he's going to surpass it by a pretty healthy margin.
I know this is nitpicking, but I thought Kipnis was ahead of him.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised.
Well, as of yesterday, I don't know if something changed.
Let's see.
With yesterday's games.
Well, that's still 19 home runs is great. Now, what did he hit, five after the All-Star break last year? Dozier?
I wouldn't remember. Yeah, he's outscored Kipnis by 5 points.
Wow.
Yep.
So where do you have Dozier second base rankings rest of season?
I've got him third behind Altuve and Kipnis.
As do I.
Okay. Next email, we're getting there, is from Petey in Greenwood, Delaware. Grade the trade. Says, hey, Austin, Clay, and Audrey.
And then in parentheses, ha-ha. Ha-ha. Yeah.
I guess I'm Audrey. I don't know. I think that's Big Brother. Scott, you watch Big Brother, right?
No.
Yeah, you watch Survivor.
I don't watch that filth.
Save the...
Watch Survivor. Oh, wait. Big Brother's a CBS show. It's
great.
Quality television.
Yes, that's what you meant by filth. I give up Dozier.
It's filthy.
Give up Dozier, get Cano and Carrasco.
I'm giving that a D+.
I was still thinking about the Survivor Big Brother comparison. Okay, so Dozier for Cano and Carrasco is a bad trade. C-. You gave it a C+?
D+.
Oh, D+. Okay, yeah, D+. I agree. I just lowered my grade.
From Paul Branson from Calgary, grade the trade, 14-team head-to-head points. Give up Plouffe, Sano, and McCullers. Plouffe, Sano, and McCullers. To get back Machado and Matt Moore. This slides Mike Moustakas into corner infield, and Machado could be one of his five keepers in 2016. So again, it's Plouffe, Sano, and McCullers to get Machado and Matt Moore.
Obviously, Sano has a lot of upside, and Moore does for that matter, but Machado is far and away the best player in this deal, so A-.
Okay.
Maybe even A. Yeah, I'll go A.
John Morrow. Oh, I'm sorry, Al. Grade?
I was going to go B+.
Okay. John Morrow, would you rather have on your roster Brett Anderson, Mike Montgomery, or Irvin Santana? Who do you like?
C-. let's see. Who would I rather have? I would most like to have Irvin Santana.
Me too.
Ian from Northampton, Massachusetts. Grade the trade. Dear Sean, William, and Scott.
I get that.
Sean William Scott is Stifler.
Among other things.
He's Stifler. 10-team mixed head-to-head categories league, hits and walks, in addition to batting average. Give up Goldschmidt, Odorizzi, and Storen. Get Bautista and Pujols. Give up Odorizzi, Goldschmidt, and Storen. Get Bautista and Pujols.
In a 10-team league, I mean, I don't feel like I could give it lower than C, but it'd be a higher grade if it was a 12 or 14-team league. I just think Goldschmidt, you get him in a league that shallow, you hold on to him.
I'm going to go C.
Yeah.
C.
All right, then. Last one. DFS question from One-Eyed Willie. It says, hey, you guys!
I get that, too.
Yeah.
Sloth said that, not One-Eyed Willie, just so we all know. But he says...
He was making two different Goonies references in the same email.
That's fine.
He's a big fan of the movie, clearly.
That's a great movie. For daily fantasy purposes, when you have, say, a right-handed batter that crushes lefties, but a lefty pitcher on the mound that mows down righties, who do you put in your lineup?
Yep, it's a good question.
That is a really good question. I'm not sure I can give a cover-all answer to that. Because it might depend on where the game is being played.
How much the player costs.
Yeah.
I think generally I always give the pitcher the advantage in any batter pitcher interaction. Like, for example, and this is not the same thing, but you know, Felix Hernandez is pitching against Mike Trout. There's no way I'm starting Mike Trout that day. But there's a very good chance I'm starting Felix Hernandez that day.
Right, right.
I had this exact situation yesterday. Brian Dozier versus David Price. I started them both. Didn't work out. On the whole, it worked out for Price, but it didn't work out starting Dozier. And it really, I think in a vacuum, I wouldn't have started Dozier, but given that there weren't good cheap options at second base that were at all palatable and sort of how I'd filled other positions, I felt like it was worth, you know, kind of taking a flyer on Dozier. So it's not a great answer, but it really does depend on all those variables.
So yesterday in our CBS Pod League, the CBS Sports Fantasy League, it's called on FanDuel. Congratulations to Whiter 222. Is that you, Scott?
No.
David Price, Yadier Molina, Adrian Gonzalez, D. Gordon, Nolan Arenado, Francisco Lindor, Ryan Rayburn, great call by Al, Andre Ethier, and Colby Rasmus. That was your winning lineup. Guys, I finished third in the tournament last night.
Oh, really?
It was the best payout I've ever had. I had a good night.
I want to see what your name is. Hang on. Got to find the tournament. There it is. Adam's name, is it something obvious? Like, well, no, it's you. Big Kane 2.
Yeah. That was a name I created.
Way to be transparent, Adam.
When I was in college on a message board, when I was with the student radio station, I had to go on this message board because all these people were ripping us. All these like Hurricanes fans were ripping our radio station. And I was like, you jerks, just shut up. Like, we're student broadcasters. So I came up with Big Kane 2, and now I use it sometimes. So anyway,
like, as your way to like defend the show anonymously.
No, I said it was me. I was like, give these guys a break. Like, they're freshmen in college that are broadcasting for the first time and you're ripping them for not saying the score enough. Like, you losers, get a life. But anyway, back to FanDuel. I gotta defend now. I gotta step up again. This is a little bit of a harder day, I think. But
yeah, it's a pretty hard day.
Alright, so really good pitching options. I made a Mad Bum lineup. He's facing the Phillies. But I kinda don't think I wanna use him. Who do you guys wanna use?
Yeah, I do want Mad Bum against the Phillies, but I can definitely see myself having maybe multiple lineups with Erasmo Ramirez against the Whiffen Astros.
But they're good, the Astros, you know?
No, I know they're good, but I'm completely on board now with thinking that Erasmo Ramirez is really good.
You know who I like? Hector Santiago facing the Mariners, who are terrible against lefties. They have the fifth lowest OPS in the league against lefties. Al, you brought up the lefty-righty splits for Santiago. He's just dominant against them, so I wouldn't start Cano or Seager under any circumstances. That's a guy I'm looking at. Syndergaard looks great to me. I mean, there's just so many good options today. Scott, who do you like?
Well, as far as like tournament plays go, where, you know, you're playing a cheap pitcher in the hopes you hit big with him, but you're not playing it safe necessarily. There are a lot of options, and I wasn't even considering Erasmo Ramirez and, who was it you had, Adam?
Hector Santiago.
Yeah. Like, Kendall Graveman's the second cheapest pitcher today, 5,400, and he's been on a roll, so I could see making a tournament lineup with him. A little more on the expensive end, Danny Salazar. Anytime he or Bauer are going, because their highs are so high, I like to have a tournament lineup with them. But getting back to the top of the pitcher pool today, you know, you talked about there's a lot of, like, ace-level pitchers. As opposed to yesterday, where there were a lot also Price, Greinke, Fernandez, and it didn't seem like you could really go wrong, I think you could go really wrong today because Gerrit Cole is facing Lance Lynn. Cole Hamels and Madison Bumgarner are facing off against each other. It's not like you see a clear win for any of those pitchers.
Yeah, and Pineda
Bumgarner
and
Buchholz has the best chance just because the Phillies are so bad, but Hamels throws 7 shutout innings, I mean.
Yeah. And yeah. I also wanted to add Pineda and Buchholz to that, Scott, because they're both good options, but they're facing each other.
Right.
You know, Buchholz has been on such a roll, but the Yankees destroyed him earlier this season. But when Buchholz has pitched well, I went back and looked at the game logs. When he's been good, like in his good seasons, or at least his most recent one, 2013, he pitched great against the Yankees. They're probably a better lineup now, though. Go ahead.
For my cash lineups where I am playing, it's safe. Right now, I'm leaning Bumgarner because the Phillies are so bad. But Hamels is $2,100 cheaper, and if I could figure out a way to get Harper, Bryce Harper, and Josh Donaldson, who's facing a bad lefty in Danny Duffy, if I can get them both in a lineup with Hamels, I might end up doing that instead. It's a rare day where I'm letting my hitter decisions drive the pitcher I pick because I don't feel that much more comfortable with Bumgarner than any of the others.
All right, some guys I really like today are Adrian Gonzalez, $3,500, facing Jimmy Nelson. We've seen what Gonzalez does to these pitchers who don't do well against lefties. I like Yasiel Puig at $3,100. I'm not sure about Shin-Soo Choo and Mitch Moreland against Ian Kennedy. It looks good on paper, but Kennedy's been very good, at least with earned runs lately. Unearned runs have been a problem. But earned runs have been pretty good. So maybe he's pitching better than the numbers would indicate lately. And then I think Verlander, I like Miguel Sano against Verlander.
Yep.
I just don't like that many Twins in general. But if you can find a cheap Minnesota guy, Verlander's so bad.
I think the only third baseman I will start today are either Donaldson at 51 or Sano at 27.
I like D. Gordon against Mike Leake. D. Gordon was so good last night. I mean, unbelievable. But, yeah, any stacks that you guys like?
Well, Scott's already talked about the Blue Jays matchup against Danny Duffy, so they're monstrous against lefties in general, and against this one in particular, Donaldson's worth every penny, and Colabello, maybe Kevin Pillar, Joey Bats.
Yeah, the kind of the flip side of there being so many good pitchers, both on the very high end and just interesting tournament plays, is that there are not a lot of pitchers to pick on. For a full slate, or I guess one game less than a full slate because there's an afternoon game. I'm only starting hitters from eight different teams. I'd only consider starting hitters from eight different teams. The Nationals, Mets, Reds, Padres, Blue Jays, Twins, Braves, and Brewers. You can play that back if you want to.
Yeah.
If you really want to know. I did like Trumbo today because I mentioned back-to-back multi-hit games. He's not on one of those teams I mentioned, but he is facing, let me see here.
He's facing, Hector Santiago.
Right. Who is a pitcher I don't like to start hitters against, but at the same time, he is a homer-prone pitcher, throws left-handed. Trumbo's red hot and only $2,300. So that's a case of the price, just the bargain amount overriding my rule of I'm going to be scared of this pitcher. I tend to be scared of a lot of pitchers. And,
right.
Just not start any hitters against them.
Oh, that makes sense. He's not that good against righties, Santiago. And just two guys that I think you should avoid today. Mark Teixeira, fifth most expensive first baseman, 4-for-26 in his career against Buchholz. And Andrew McCutchen, fourth most expensive outfielder. He's been so good lately, but he's 5-for-38 with 15 strikeouts against Lance Lynn. Lance Lynn has McCutchen's number. I would not play him. That's it for me. Anything from you guys?
Not at all.
Okay. In conclusion, I hate my Bumgarner lineup, and I think I'm going to change it. Have fun, everybody. Have a great weekend. I'll be back on Monday. These guys will be in Cincinnati for the All-Star game. Chris Towers and I will recap the weekend and all that fun stuff. And until then, have a great weekend. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Adam.
Bye.